You are listening to Beefcake's Bootcamp, the last stop before deploying to the front lines in the fight against white genocide. I'm making this podcast because the team behind Beefcake's Bootcamp, those wonderful pro-whites who are better at all the things that I'm not quite so good at. I talk and talk and talk. I'm that guy that never shuts up and probably likes to hear his own voice just a little bit too much. They came to me and they asked if I'd be willing to use my ability to yap in order to put some podcasts together to help get people on board with the swarm faster and just help them get into the trenches and start fighting it out in this war of words with the anti-whites to help us end the ongoing program of white genocide that has imposed conditions on our race, which leads to the destruction of our race. And we were thinking of some different ways we could put together these podcasts to help get you guys on the fast track and hit the battlefield running, so to speak. You know, that's why we call it the last stop before you hit the front lines in this war of words, because that's what we are involved in. It is a war of words. The whole reason our enemies managed to take control was they managed to control the message, and they managed to silence anybody who happens to be pro-white or have anything to say about any of the irritants that bother them because of this anti-white system, whether it happens to be black crime stats or the fact that a Mexican guy stole his bike recently. Whatever the case is, if you're white and you speak up about the situation that is affecting white people and you don't know how to articulate it properly, our enemy shoots it down with terminology. Simple repeater words like racist, Nazi, supremacist, most of it's name-calling. Sometimes they'll accuse people of hating other people and all this kind of crap. And some of our own people fall into these traps of sounding like they hate people and all that stuff that our enemy uses against us to control the message, to control the narrative, and keep that white majority that we're trying to wake up, something you will continuously hear me referring to as the sleeping white titan, this thing that is so powerful that the whole planet shakes when white people move in unison and we do something big. It always changes the scope of the entire world, you know, whether it happens to be an invention that came from us or whether it happens to be something that people just cannot ignore, like nuclear energy, for example. It changed the whole scope of the entire world. Okay, it's both for good and for bad, whatever you want to call it, however you want to define it. I'm not going to get into that to that whole tangent. But the bottom line is that the white majority in this world has the ability to save itself. And that's why I call it the White Titan. However much power it has the power to save itself so long as it wakes up and is aware of the ongoing program of genocide against itself. And we're never going to wake people up by talking about the irritants that our enemy has terminology to shoot us down verbally whenever we talk about. We need to go for the big picture, and that's white genocide. Once people realize that there is an ongoing program of genocide against their race, an attempt to exterminate their people via assimilating them out of existence with people not of their racial group, once their eyes are open to this genocide, then it's possible to show them everything else. You know, all those other things that you want to talk about. And so I wanted to take this podcast here and talk a little bit about how I came into our struggle and how I found our mantra, our consistent message, how I learned to talk about it, and how I learned to articulate it for those message board battles that we engage in front of an audience, taking on these anti-whites and exposing them as the genocidal maniacs they are, and exposing the anti-white terminology as anti-white genocidal rhetoric that it is. For that audience to see who, in fact, is the ones who have the moral high ground, and that our enemy is morally bankrupt. That sleeping white titan has been confused as to who is in the right and who's in the wrong, and that's why it's not moving right now, or it's slowly allowing itself to be wiped out. I came into this struggle, as many people did, frustrated about a particular puzzle piece. You know, one of those things that bothers us. And let me start out by saying I was a bloody moron, an idiot, someone who had been in the dark his whole life, and I'm not really the most brilliant guy. I know I might sound smart in some of these podcasts. That's just my tongue. I might have a silver tongue, maybe, but I am not as bright as most people think I am. Nothing can make somebody more aware of a dysgenic situation. Dysgenics is the opposite of eugenics. It's a gene pool getting dumber and dumber and weaker and stupider and uglier over time. It's sort of a backwards evolution, you know. And no one's more aware of that than a white guy who's 5'7" and on the left side of the bell curve. Okay, I am not some sort of a genius who grabbed this stuff and I'm able to grasp some sort of a concept that nobody else can hit the ground running with, and it could only be me. No, I saw this as something that other people can learn how to do. And that's why I keep saying, if I can learn how to do this, you can learn how to do this too, and I hope you learn how to do this even better than me. Okay, and when I was that moron early on in this struggle, what bothered me was seeing something happening to my race, that puzzle piece that I was focused on, and I could hardly articulate that right itself, but I noticed that white people, something affecting our race is that it seems like the stupids are out reproducing the smart. You know, the ones who are not our prize specimens happen to be the ones having the most kids, and a lot of our best and brightest are having very small amounts of children, if any. Okay, and that really bothered me. I didn't like the idea that we are getting dumber and weaker, and that we're getting more inherent genetic diseases and just all sorts of dysgenic things, and that really bothered me. And I did some theorizing of things that could be done to remedy the situation. You know, if a white community was to set itself up somewhere and have some sort of a eugenics program, and nothing brutal or inhumane like castrating and spaying human beings and stuff like that, but you know, just giving special tax breaks to people that are more impressive than others if they have more kids. You know, encourage the best and the brightest to do more reproducing, eventually saturating the whole gene pool with better genes. You know, make us all more impressive. Let's get rid of hereditary diseases and all that stuff, and possibly use technology, designer baby technology, all that kind of stuff to improve upon ourselves and reverse the course of this dysgenic situation. And that might sound smart. It might sound smart when I'm saying it, but the problem is, as Bob Whitaker himself, the old goose that I refer to him as, an old goose who lays golden eggs, he laid a golden egg. That's where when he says, "Well, if you're drowning, what you need is air." In other words, I'm sitting here concerned about a dysgenic situation of white people breeding themselves dumber, stupider, and uglier within some of our own communities, that white underclass that's been created. That's what I'm bitching and moaning about when my race is facing genocide. My race is being exterminated via assimilation with non-whites. Okay, you can't exactly reverse a dysgenic situation when you're in the middle of being exterminated. Okay, I've been concerned about one little, probably a weird puzzle piece. You know, that's not usually what gets people into the struggle. Most people get into the struggle because their brother got beat up by a black guy, you know, and they don't like black people now, or they lost their business due to a hostile takeover from a wealthy Jewish guy, and they don't like Jews anymore, or they notice that the anti-white media is owned by Jews. You get the idea. These are the typical things people get into our struggle because of this sort of doom and gloom thing. Mine was the dysgenic situation, so that's a little bit odd. But again, when you happen to be a short white guy who's on the left side of the bell curve, nothing makes you realize how important human genome is than a guy who happens to be a less impressive specimen. Okay, so I'm not brilliant. I don't have bones like concrete, and I'm not very tall. I am on the left side of the bell curve in most categories. Maybe my ability to talk is the only thing I got going for me, but even that was not my primary ability. The original thing I did before coming into this struggle, I was in the military. I served in Iraq in 04 and 05. I served in combat. And now I look back at it and say I was probably fighting wars for our enemy. Not probably. I was certainly fighting wars for our enemy side. The same side that has imposed this anti-white system, like sending us to war. And the only thing I was ever good at was making things go kaboom and looking down the barrel of a firearm and pulling a trigger. Okay? I could do all that Billy badass crap. I'm calling the Billy Badass crap right now, crap. That's what it is. Okay, my ability to do room clearing and bark orders at guys that are barely lower than me in rank, you know, that doesn't do a damn thing for our race. Okay, right now the game is not basketball, the game is baseball. That's something from Horace the Avenger over at Follow the White Rabbit. He'll tell you this is a war of words right now. Words, words, words. So my original skill set playing Billy Badass, okay, that did not do our race any good. It's ineffective. And because I was concerned about the future of my race and my people, I had to realize that I needed a whole new skill set. All right, I was concerned about again, that puzzle piece I was so focused on, the dysgenic situation, you know, slowly devolving my race, the race that I love because it's my race. You know, I was concerned about that. I had no way of articulating a message based on that. And not only that, but that's not the important message because we got a much bigger problem right now. We're being wiped out. Okay, a dysgenic situation encouraging the least valuable to our gene pool to outreproduce the more valuable. That's just one small puzzle piece in white genocide. The big picture is blending us out of existence with all the other races in only white countries, in all white countries. We're not allowed to have any exclusive countries to ourselves. They're all flooded with non-whites with open border policies, and we're told that we have a race problem due to the ethnic conflict that it creates, and that the solution is for us to all interbreed into this mocha-colored blended humanity. Well, that gets rid of white people. Now there's a party, and at the table you still have Asian people in Asian countries and black people in black countries, but white people no longer exist in the future. And I'm sitting here concerned about one little puzzle piece, and we're never going to go anywhere with that. Okay, and that's an example of how I was an idiot, and my skill set had nothing valuable to add to the discussion. What is a guy who only knows how to make things go kaboom gonna do when his race is facing genocide and it's because of a war of words? I was utterly useless to us. I was an idiot. I was an idiot. I had nothing of value to contribute whatsoever, and I was very frustrated because of it. I was very wrapped up in that whole doom and gloom feeling. You know, we're all going to get blended out of existence, and we're at the same time we're getting dumber and shorter and uglier. Okay, that's not good. And I was so wrapped up in the doom and gloom. I was a doom and gloomer, very pessimistic, complained about all the irritants, and from that one thing irritating me, the dysgenic situation, I get on Stormfront and I learn about all the other irritants. Okay? Learning about the irritants just got me more upset and more doom and gloom, and I'd read all these news stories and I'd get even more pessimistic about the situation. Not good. Not good at all. And I would try entertaining myself the way a lot of whites do that are familiar with the problems but don't know a way out. We just kind of try to drug ourselves up, giving ourselves dopamine fixes with video games and mindless, stupid entertainment. You know, your race is going extinct. You don't know how to solve the situation, so you'd rather just ignore reality. Because you have no idea how to correct the situation. That's sad. That is sad. That's embarrassing. Okay, to not know how you correct the situation, so you're just gonna go try to get yourself a dopamine fix on whatever and make yourself feel good. But for some reason, I kept searching. You know, I knew there had to be an answer somewhere, and my eyes were open searching for something, and at the same time maybe something to entertain myself with a little bit because I was looking for that dopamine fix, that escape from this reality that was bothering me so much. And I liked listening to radio programs. You know, if I'm playing a mindless video game, maybe I'll listen to a radio program. Maybe that'll make me feel good, at least knowing that somebody else is hurting the same way I am, knowing that someone else is bothered by the same irritants that are bothering me. You know, it's sad, but that's the mindset a lot of pro whites are in that haven't received our message yet. You know, they want to just sort of entertain themselves. They want to hear other people that agree with them so they don't feel alone in the way they feel. In their day-to-day lives, they have trouble talking to other white people about what's going on without being called an evil racist Nazi who wants to clone Hitler and kill 6 million Jews. So they kind of find their little online community, and they have their little echo chamber, and they feel sort of that dopamine fix from talking to each other and making each other at least realize someone else agrees with the problem. And there were some radio shows about that kind of stuff going on, and I actually found Trucker Roy, and I was listening to some of his radio programs. I think I was playing Diablo 2 or something, some old video game that is kind of mindless when you play it and go clickety click click with your mouse. As I was listening to him, he had this guy on named Horace. Okay, and Horace sounded different. He sounded very different from everything else that I had ever heard anyone in the pro-white struggle talking about. He wasn't talking about doom and gloom. He wasn't bitching and moaning about the irritants. He was talking about a way out. He was talking about an end to the anti-white system. He pointed out that systems like this have been in place before and they've come down, and that most totalitarian systems in our history didn't last very long. They collapse under their own weight, and the insurmountable mountain of lies and bullshit gets so heavy that all you need to do is point out how much it stinks. And how the simplest thing helped crumble the Soviet Union was when people had a repeater to say that pointed out the hypocrisy, that pointed out the double standards, the internal contradictions. And by doing that, a system built on lies falls apart. The one for the Soviet Union was, well, how come if we're living in a workers' paradise, they need men with guns to keep us inside? That very simple talking point. You expose something that is an 800-pound gorilla in the room, and people can no longer ignore it. You open a window to the truth. Once people see what's beyond the window, they can never forget what they saw. And the mantra is it was something developed by Bob to show white people a window to the truth about white genocide. That double standard, where the conditions imposed on our race that lead to the destruction of our race via flooding all white countries and only white countries with non-whites, and force integrating us in order to get us to intermarry and assimilate, so that it ends the race problem that only exists in white countries and all white countries, is really an ongoing program of genocide against our race. And then they even add talking points to it. Actually, Bob added talking points to it as well that show the double standard by reversing the situation on a non-white group. The example and the mantra are black people. If we were to flood every single black country and only black countries with non-blacks, in order to get them to blend together and assimilate and end a race problem that only exists in black countries, how long would it take any sane black person to realize I'm talking about the final solution to the black problem, not the end of some sort of a race problem? We'd be wiping out black people with assimilation. And how long would it take for any sane black man to notice this? And what kind of psycho black man wouldn't be opposed to this? Okay? But if I tell the obvious truth about the ongoing program of genocide against my race, anti-whites call me an evil racist Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. They say they are anti-racist. What they are is anti-white. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. And you look at that messaging, and contained therein, it shows the program of genocide, how that program of genocide works. It shows the double standard. It's only being done to white people in all white countries. And it even messes with our enemy's terminology by pointing out that all those names they call us are just code words for anti-white. They're just things they tell us when we're opposed to our own genocide to get us to shut up. And all we have to do is point out that all those names they call us are just code words for anti-white. Every name they call us is a code word for anti-white. And by pointing it out, you take its power away. Just the same way that you point out the 800-pound gorilla in the room and nobody can ignore it anymore. Once you realize there's a man behind the curtain and you realize what he's up to, there's no way you can ignore him anymore. It's just what it is. You use the mantra, and it points out the truth. Okay, and well, I got another podcast here. It's already been completed, but I go into detail the importance of the mantra. But what it is it's a way of waking white people up. It's that big thing that people have talked about in pro-white circles for so long. That ultimate question: how do we wake up white people? Well, the answer is here, guys. That old goose laid us a golden egg on how to wake up white people. That's amazing. This is a way out. This is no more doom and gloom. No more all is lost and all that crap. No, this is a way out. This is a way to kick out the pillars holding up this anti-white system. And the pillars have big cracks in them right now. Okay? This thing is ready to come down. It's time for this message. Horace, in his podcast on practical politics, he explained that this thing is ready to come down. That's why it's time for this message now. Okay, this is a means, the mantra, and is the means to open up the eyes of the sleeping white titan, show it that it has the moral authority to save itself, that it is in the moral right to do so. And that brings me to the swarm. The swarm is the front line in this war of words. Okay, when every other pro-white group and circle is talking about doom and gloom and complaining about the irritants, we are out here destroying the enemy's terminology in front of an audience so they can pick up our talking points too. So that when someone calls them a racist for talking about the situation of our ongoing genocide, they have a means of defending themselves by saying anti-racist is just a code word for anti-white. You're just saying that because I'm resisting white genocide and you're calling me names because you support white genocide, you genocidal maniac. You're anti-white. You're an anti-white. Why do you support the genocide of white children? You know, and that's the kind of thing that people pick up in our terminology from reading our posts online. If someone manages to get past the call screeners on a non-pro-white radio show that has millions of listeners, if you can get through the call screeners and you can say the mantra, even if you want to talk about how much you don't like the mantra, you're still spreading the message around. I know it's funny how it works like that, but this is a viral message that our enemies can't touch without spreading it themselves. It is so useful because the only thing our enemy can do is ignore it, and we can still make it grow on our own. And so we have a team that is out there spreading these memes, these minimum units of meaning. We're spreading it all over the enemy's camp, the anti-whites camp. We're messing with the brainwashing and conditioning that has been imposed on our people. We have a video up on YouTube right now that's a White Rabbit Radio production, and it's got a lot of the guys that contributed to it are swarm members too, and it points out all the flaws and all the anti-white arguments by reversing the narrative and making it and imposing it on the Indians when the Indians just wanted to preserve their own people and race. You know, when white people first came to America, you know, it takes that whole historical narrative they've all seen in school, and it flips the script to point out the hollowness of all those anti-white arguments that are normally used on us. You know, that's an example of the terminology that we're inserting through memes into our culture. And this stuff is making a big difference already. You know, it used to be in pro-white circles, they'd refer to anti-whites as antis. Well, now we specify who they're anti of. You know, you got to do that. You have to change the narrative sometimes and impose your own terminology. In fact, the only way to get rid of the enemy's terminology is to impose our own terminology, which rips apart their terminology. And remember, this whole anti-white system leading us to the genocide of our people, this whole anti-white system imposing conditions on our race, which leads to the destruction of our race, white genocide, is held together by words. Words that people believe. It's called wordism, a religion based around words. Okay? We believe in these words and everything will be okay. That whole thing. It's wordism. It's a bunch of bunk. It's BS. It's a system built on lies and deception. And when a system is based on lies and deception, the way you take down the system is by imposing a terminology that points out the truth. In a hilarious way, pointing out the internal contradictions and double standards. White people have an innate sense of fairness, and they hate double standards. They hate internal contradictions more than anything else. White people hate double standards and internal contradictions more than the black guy who stole their bike as a child. I guarantee you that. Okay, so you don't have to talk about how irritated you are about other people. You just have to learn how to point out those double standards and internal contradictions in the anti-white dialogue that supports genocidal conditions on whites. When you do that, you wake up whites, and you're helping take down the anti-white system. You know, if an anti-white is embarrassed because of something he said, because it got pointed out, the double standards he's promoting that lead to genocide, it really messes with him. You know, they start second guessing themselves, and a lot of them are just heavily brainwashed too. The bottom line is, we have a way out, so we can stop complaining about the irritants. I don't have to complain about the dysgenic situation, the dysgenic situation on our race. that is breeding us dumber and weaker and shorter and uglier and stinkier and all the stuff we're slowly devolving into because of it. I don't have to complain about that anymore. Because I realize once our race is free of this BS narrative, this anti-white system, we'll be able to get all that stuff corrected later on. We'll be able to do whatever is necessary to make ourselves the people that we are supposed to be once we're no longer living under that anti-white system that is imposing conditions on our race that lead to the destruction of our race. Right now, our race is drowning in a sea of non-whites that we are to be assimilated with. That happens to be the major problem, and when you're drowning, you need air, not to complain about the irritants. Well, the mantra is the air. It's the air at the top. It's breaking through the surface of that water when you're drowning, and it's a way out. It's a way to end the anti-white system and save our race from genocide. So, no more doom and gloom. No more all is lost attitude. All of a sudden, there's a way out. And that's what got me so excited about it when I started listening to Horace. I realized all I need to do is learn a new skill set. I need to learn how to articulate this message and fast. And there's a team over at Bugs that teaches you how to do it. And these following podcasts are being designed just to do a quick get you up to speed. You don't have to listen to me. If you've been listening to me here now for what's the time counter here? To over 26 minutes. If you've been listening to me and I just sound like a guy who likes my own voice and I sound like a dummy, but you get the idea of how important our mantra is and the importance of the consistent message. You don't have to listen to me anymore. You can head right over to the Swarm and do some exploring yourself, ask some questions, read Bob's back posts on his site on whitakeronline.org. WHITAKER online.org. Click on the link to his most recent writings. That takes you to the new Bugs homepage on WordPress and start reading his back posts. And you'll see the link to the Swarm on the side. Click on that and get into that message form and start reading what we're doing there. See what we're doing on Where Did You Post the Mantra Today? And you can just start picking it up right away. The best way to learn this is to learn through experience. So, by all means, as you're listening to these podcasts, start engaging, start exploring that site, start learning, and start doing. We're all about doing here, and we're about doing things that help take down this anti-white system that's held together by a string of words. And it's a war of words, and we're here to teach you how to fight it and to get you onto the front line so we can help take down this anti-white system right away. And it's about repetition, and it's about the more voices talking about it. It sounds silly when I just say something like boots cost money, boots cost money. But when you hear an entire platoon saying it, it sounds like
boots cost money, boots cost money, boots cost money, boots cost money.
Which sounds a whole lot more impressive than just me saying it. That's just to make the point that the more people are saying something, the more impressive it is. We can't all just be off doing our own stuff. You can't have your buddy over here doing something effective, and you're over here doing something ineffective, and this guy's doing something that doesn't do anything, and this guy's doing something that doesn't do anything. First, you got to find out what's effective, and then you got to have everybody doing what's effective. And when you get enough people doing what's effective, then you see big changes happen. And we want to see this anti-white system come down. And therefore, we are going to need to be unified. We need a consistent thing to say. That's how all major movements accomplish their goals, is by getting people on that consistent message. Thomas Paine didn't just go out and start shooting British soldiers one day. They would have made an example out of him. It would have been really, really ugly had Thomas Paine did something stupid like that. First came the printing press, then came common sense, then we got everyone on a consistent message, then the revolution happened. So before anything happens, you need to get people on that consistent message. And that's the whole reason we are here. I hope that's a good enough introduction for the Swarm and for Bugs and for what we are doing. And if you still need a little brushing up on what practical politics is, you can always head over to Follow the White Rabbit at whiterabbitradio.net and listen to Horace's podcast if he sounds more entertaining than I do. But as far as my story goes and introducing you to the Swarm and what we're doing here, that's about all I have to say about that here.
No way!